C1PR. Number 4B.
About notes and note taking. For this, you know my reaction on notes. I never like people to take notes on certain occasions. Namely then, when I like to give a talk where I want, say, to impress the student with a view. But here it's different. We come together in a classroom. We come together as permanent students for a year. And so you are free to take as many notes as you like. I think as you go on you will find out that you don't have to take many notes. But you are free to take notes as many as you like. But please keep them for yourself as much as you can. And don't copy them and send it out by the dozens and hundreds of copies. That's why I had to print Why Christian Science as a Science, because I found out that there were circulating 200 copies in the world. And so I had to stop it by printing it my version. That's the reason why it came out. So, take notes as many as you like. But what I would like you to do, those who feel they would like to do it, is in their study at home to make notes for themselves. To make notes what they have found out. No matter if you ever will use those notes or if you will never look at them again, but try to write down your findings. Not just any findings, the findings of those subjects, what you have found out. And make notes, because it helps to clarify thought. And in doing these notes, I always find that it is helpful to have loose leaves. Loose leaf. You say loose leaf?
Yes.
Because when one ponders a subject, in comparison to study a subject, when one ponders a subject, one is very sure that every day or every second day something new comes out on a thought which one had long before. So if you make loose leaves and you take a leaf for each subject or for each subtone and you just write your things on it, what you have seen and what it means to you, well, you have ample space left so that when a week after, 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after, something new comes on that tone, you just can make your notes again, and then you have them classified. You don't have your notes mixed up in a book anywhere. And it's just one hint which every student, I think, at the university is used to do. About questions, I wrote in the initial letter that you will be able to ask me questions. But I was thinking that there will turn up about 30 or 40 people. But with the crowd we have now, it's not possible. So what I allow you to do is that if you have pertinent questions on the subject, you can write to me personally. And I will answer them as the subject turns up the next time or the time afterwards or so. Where I can just put them in and say, well, the question has been put to me, or where something answers by itself. But I wouldn't like to get from each one two or three questions. And so make use of it on fundamental questions on the subject. Well, I think that's in an organization way all what I have to say to start with full flags tomorrow. But before I let you go home, I want just to round up the thing a little bit. What is the thought that can come to us when we consider the work that lies before us? To me, has always come in the last months or so, a sense of enormous grace, a sense that we are very blessed beyond measure. a sense of grace. And I said, how did I earn that? Well, what did I earn? What has given to us? I didn't work for it. I climbed the trees when I were young, and didn't go to the Sunday school and so on. Haven't been anything like a good boy, I think. And then I think, what is it? And it's grace. Grace for what? I think ages have passed, thousands of years have passed, and millions of people in every age, the best minds, have been searching for God and have mostly not found it. And to us is presented a clear definition of God. It's a gift of enormous magnitude to think that thousands of years the best minds of people have been searching, practically none has found it, and we have it. It's given to us. We didn't have to work for it. I think, and that makes me grateful, and I think ages have passed and mankind has tried in all sorts and ways and means to approach God. They did all they could to approach God. Sacrifices, burnt offerings, rituals, getting up in the morning at 5 or 6 every day and going to the mass and I don't know what, making enormous efforts to get into oneness with God, and haven't found it. And we have it. Says that which leads you into oneness with God is understanding the definition of God. You can have it, nobody's excluded. We can have it. It's up to us. I didn't have to work for it, I didn't have to pay for it, I didn't have to do anything for it. I'm in the position of grace to be where I am, where you are. Have you valued that? I think that even when one knows that understanding is leading us to God, I feel blessed beyond words that I know the ordered way of understanding. So many people know that through understanding they can come into oneness with God, but they don't know the ordered way to do it. The grace of God is that now we know it. We haven't gone yet, but we know the way and where it goes and can go it. An enormous grace. Why have we been chosen to do that? Why is it? The way is now clear. It's the ordered way of the textbook. Starting with desire to know God. Blossoming up through the chapters until it reaches the climax of the holy city. That's what impresses me. That we are here. Well, we may reach our students through their activities. Perhaps we may reach today, I don't know, 200, 300 people who are interested in the way of the world. Do you know what that means? That means that each one of us is one out of 10 million people now living in this world who has that grace to know the way. Each one of here is one out of 10 million people living now on this globe. They live on this globe, they live. There is only one aim they can live for, that's life. If they don't live the life of the divine life, life will force them sooner or later to live life. Because life demands life. But what did we do to be here? To be chosen among each one of us, to be chosen among 10 million people to know the biggest thing on earth. Have we ever been grateful for that? Have we ever felt a sense of being blessed by God beyond measure, and how small then are our daily problems compared with that? What are our problems from morning to night? That the boss isn't kind with me, that that the husband isn't kind with me, that the children don't do as they should do and as I want them to do and as I dictate them to do, but because the little toe is aching. What is this compared with the grace that we are sitting here knowing consciously that a way has been opened by John Dolly to the only way there is? I feel if we love that and worship that and value that, I'm sure that all the tiny little problems we have just don't matter anymore. They don't weigh in the balance of God anymore. And when they don't weigh anymore, they are nothing. And so I feel, for myself, I feel it would be a treasure of our mission, of our trust we have from God, if we wouldn't love this thing, if we wouldn't value this thing beyond measure. I think it would be treasure of our mission. And it will be treasure of our mission if we are worried about 1,000 little things of our life, if so much has been given to us. That's why the Bible could say that we are kings and priests unto God. We are kings unto God because a king is always that symbol of principle which covers the whole realm of principle. The king which knows if I take the whole, I have all details. The king which says I can't lose anything in my realm. My realm is big, and whatever is in that realm is mine. I have all. And we have that allness of principle, first visionally, but we'll culture it spiritually, and culture it spiritually, until it is warm and near and patient and tender and true and loving to us. And it is that the Bible says, you are made a priest unto God. Priestess love is always priestess at the altar of truth. It always says, you know, that if we serve this big idea, that if we serve at the altar of this big idea, of the Christ of this age, of the Comforter of this age, you know that God loves you for that? That God loves you immeasurably for that. God has no greater love than science. That's her highest idea. Love's highest idea is divine science. If we serve divine science, we are that priestess. And nothing can make us be in a state of grace where love loves us more than if we serve science. And all that is open to us, free to us. So let's value that. Let's be a real woman to that. And let nobody come along, and no argument come along which says, no, that's a small thing. That's a little thing. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not good enough for this. It's not true. It has nothing to do with me and with you. Grace has led us together to contemplate a subject which our heart longs to contemplate, or we wouldn't be here. And it's a subject which is the biggest. That's why love loves us so much. And so we are kings and priests unto God. Just royalties. I think that's what our friends in Zurich just must have felt this morning. They sent me a telegram and said, thinking of you with royal salute over the crowd, over the channel. So here is the royal salute. Let us take it.